Thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. My name is Carrie Rabideau, and today we have a little different format than we have in the past, as this is a podcast within a podcast. How does that work, you may ask? Well, long story short, last summer, I engaged in a research project that started as a survey, and then that led me to want to learn more from the respondents. So, I engaged some of my colleagues to help me develop focus groups that would be conducted online in a webinar. Now, one of the colleagues who helped me out with this is Sam Grant, evaluation specialist for our Center for Youth Development. After we completed the focus groups, she asked me to do a podcast with her where we discuss how we planned and implemented focus groups in a web-based seminar. Sam has graciously allowed me to republish her podcast so you, our listeners, can hear about our project, learn how we did online focus groups, and share what we learned. So here it is. I hope you enjoy.
Hi everyone, this is Sam Grant and I'm the creator of the website Evaluating Education Programs. Today I'm taking the mic away from my colleague Carrie Rabideau, who is usually interviewing me as well as others in youth development on the Youth Development Podcast. Carrie is one of my colleagues who recently did a really cool project that I learned more about and I wanted to share it with all of you. So, Carrie, will you brag about your recent evaluation project?
Hey, Sam. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your podcast. What a thrill for me to be a guest.
Yes, and the first guest, so way to go.
Well, you asked me to talk about a project that I worked on, and of course, I collaborated with you and got a lot of information from you in doing it because I wanted to survey adult 4-H volunteers. Now, leading up to this, I'll tell you a little bit about myself, which helps explain why I was doing this project. I have led the design and development of adult non-credit adult learners for almost 10 years now for the Center for Youth Development. One of those groups that I have worked with are 4-H volunteers. And we decided quite a few years back now to develop asynchronous training for our volunteers in that online setting. It has been enough years now that it is time to review and revise those asynchronous trainings. But I didn't want to assume that we wanted to do them exactly the same way. So, with your help, I developed and dispersed a survey over the summer to 4-H volunteers, and we really had a good return rate and learned some very interesting things. But the thing is about the survey is that it left us with some questions and some points that we really wanted to have clarified. Because of that, I wanted to talk to some volunteers. You know, I had some guesses and I talked to some colleagues about it and said, you know, what do you think about why they answered in this way? But I knew the best way to do that would be through a focus group. And I have limited time for travel and limited time and resources to be able to do this. So I thought, you know what? I would like to try doing focus groups via webinar.
She started with her survey and then decided, I need to know more, which is great to use a focus group in that scenario. But the idea that you want to get voices from all around the state of Minnesota, which is important in the work that we do here in Extension, she decided to go online. So tell us how you designed a focus group in an online setting.
When I started to design and develop this focus group online, I went immediately to my comfort level. So I am comfortable teaching and developing online meetings with webinars. That's a place where I feel like, you know, I'm at home. Many, you know, a lot of our colleagues do face-to-face training for their career. Most of mine is done with a headset on, with a webcam in front of me, and that's how I work with people across the state and across the nation. So I used a lot of the same ideas and knowledge that I have about working and teaching in a web-based environment in designing and developing this focus group. So what does that mean? You know, it's the idea that I want it to be easy for people to get onto, because I know, for example, I work with a youth development brown bag webinar series, and I never know who's going to get on and exactly what kind of technology they're going to have. But we've been able to produce those in a way that anyone can get on and participate. That's how I wanted this focus group to be as well. So as we look into how it was designed and developed, everyone getting on, if they had a speaker and a microphone, they would be able to participate. Even if they didn't have a microphone, they would be able to type in answers.
All right. So you thought about the learner and what they needed to do to fully participate. Same thing if you have people coming to a physical session to do a focus group. Tell us how you did it and what you did when you led these online focus groups.
Well, first of all, we need participants, right? So I started with our volunteer director in Minnesota and asked her to identify program coordinators from throughout the state that could help me identify volunteers who, one, have taken, which shows they're interested in online learning of some kind, because after all, that's the information I wanted to get from them, and also that we would have likely participants. So it through that process, we connected with those program coordinators, and with your help, selected volunteers from those counties, and I sent a personal invite to those volunteers and said, here are two evenings. I would love for you to join me in this webinar, and I need your input that will help influence the training that we do online in the future for 4-H volunteers. So of those participants, we had 16, three of them were men, and then we had 8 counties represented literally from the north end to the south end of the state. So that was really exciting to me too. Each time was 1 hour. And as I mentioned before, they had the opportunity to either type their answers, or they could tell them to us in an audio format. And I really, really found that beneficial. We recorded each one so that we can cross-reference it later if we weren't able to grab the notes on something someone said, or if we want to look back again at who participated. And we can also go back into the chats and grab those responses from the participants again.
And so when you said that people had the option to type or to talk, did you find that people were more comfortable picking one or the other? And did that matter in the focus group? Because in a focus group, you want to make sure that everyone is talking and you're hearing the voice of the whole group and you don't let just one person dominate. So how did that flesh out in an online focus group?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I thought a lot about that ahead of time. And it reminds me of why I get so excited about teaching in online formats like a web-based seminar. Because when we're teaching face-to-face, inevitably, we have those learners who are excited to share. They are people who are good audio learners. And so typically when we ask those questions, they may be the first ones to answer every time. As you mentioned, in a focus group, that can be a challenge to manage that. In a web-based environment, we're able to allow people with many different kinds with lots of preferences for how they share to interact. And here's what I mean by that. If you're somebody who needs to think a little bit and then respond, you have time to do that. Because you can look at that text box and go, how do I want to formulate this answer? How do I really feel about this? And then you're able to type it, hit send, and there it is. At the same time, you have your learners who want to talk right now, and I'm able to respond right away with what I have to say. They can unmute themselves and talk. while the others are also sharing. If you're somebody else who's somewhere in the middle, you're able to share either way. If you can't get in right away with audio, you can start typing right away. And then what was also really helpful is that if somebody typed something that I wanted just a little more, I wanted them to go a little deeper, I could ask them to do that. I think we were able to do a lot of the same things that you can do in person, but also allow for those different sharing styles and ways that people want to communicate with you. They could do it both typing and sharing. When you're in person, you don't necessarily have people write things down or type their answers in. And I think you might miss something that we didn't through this format.
And so when you were busy watching, I can just imagine people are talking and they're typing and there's a lot of things happening all at once. So as a facilitator, I think online might have its challenges, but was there any way that you figured out how to make it easier to take in all that information and be responding to what people were saying in real time?
The best thing I did is I didn't do it by myself. I had two colleagues who one of them was taking primary lead on taking notes, and the other one was taking lead on reading things that maybe I would miss. And she even, a couple times in our private chat that only we could see, she gave me a couple tips on, it looks like a lot of people are saying this, or, wow, this is interesting. Maybe ask them a little more about that. And that was helpful so that I could do that. But I was getting that, I was getting fed some of that if I'm in case I missed something. The other thing is that, you know, we didn't have 100 people on. Mm-hmm. We had 11 people on one night. We had 5 people on the other night. And that's the other thing is if you are going to do a focus group through a web-based environment, just as when you're teaching in that environment, you have to be comfortable with the silence. There is downtime. And then all of a sudden, bloop, you know, here come all of the answers. But there is some time where everybody can be quiet, and it's an environment where it's okay to just be quiet and let people think about what they want to say and do that typing. So it was rare for it to be overwhelming, I guess, is my comment on that of everyone's comments, but that we did have audio and text happening at the same time.
That's a great strategy to make sure that you don't go at it alone, mm-hmm. and you have someone else. And then that's also someone that's recording some of your data in real time, so you're not having to come back later and transcribe your information, really being able to deal with it in real time. That's really smart. So now that you have done this from the start of planning it and envisioning what it could be like all the way to leading 2 separate focus groups, what would you say are the pros and the cons of using this type of format for other people that are thinking about this?
So for my pros, I mean, my pro list, to be honest with you, is much longer than my con list. And I will say, again, I think part of that is because I'm so comfortable in this environment. So with any time you're going to teach in an online setting, know your skill base and your comfort level and practice if you need to. So I think that because of my comfort level, it was a pro because I was able to allow people to talk or type. I think that we could have more than one person answering at the same time. And with the number of questions I had, we were able to keep it to an hour. The volunteers really seemed to appreciate that. And they were willing to give us an hour of their time. Another pro is that it was over 2 evenings. I was able to reach 16 people from all over the state of Minnesota. If I had attempted to do 2 focus groups, one in southern Minnesota, one in northern Minnesota, that would have been more than one evening for me. It would have been a lot of travel, and it would have been a lot of time out of the office. And quite frankly, finances that I didn't have. You know, this was a project that I knew we needed to do, but I didn't necessarily put it on a budget line item for the year. But the information was helpful. So those were some pros. Also, the recorded and aspect of it, and that we have that to go back to later. One of the pros that I would like to highlight that was an unexpected pro is that, especially in the first focus group, when we had 11 people, towards the end of our time together, towards the end of the hour, one participant said, "Wow, you know, I didn't expect to enjoy participating this way so much. I think I could learn this way." And then a couple others responded afterwards of, yeah, this was really interesting, because they saw the benefit of being able to connect with volunteers from across the state, other volunteers that are doing something that they're doing, but they have access to them in ways that they wouldn't have. You know, so that was an unexpected pro of, I've always, you know, and that's some of the research that I did, is if we give you these opportunities, if we teach you how to learn in this way, might you keep coming? And that supported that as well.
Yeah, and Carrie spent a lot of time putting together a series of questions, following good focus group protocol. So you really thought about the design and the structure of it so people could come in and have a really good experience. So I would say that's an important piece. But how about any cons? You talked a little bit about just knowing your own skill set, which could be a con. But any other thing that you thought didn't work as well in an online setting, or someone should think about when developing something in an online setting?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the con is what you have in any online learning setting is that there are no nonverbals. Yeah. And that you can't see everyone and you cannot respond to the group in individual ways. And I, you know, there's definitely something lost in that. And there always is. You know, I've always said, even though I work in distance learning and that's the primary area that I work in, face-to-face is always the best. But however, you know, there were some, I've already mentioned the pros, but I think that would be the con, you know, and if you can do it face-to-face, great.
Yeah. So in anything, there's some trade-offs, right? That you have to decide, do you want to get people from many different places? Do you want to give different learner styles to be able to participate? I also think an online setting can be really great with people with certain disabilities, that being part of a large group would be problematic. You know, knowing your resources and your audience, it's a viable option.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing is the timing of it. Because we did it web-based, I literally emailed these 4-H volunteers 2 weeks prior to, and had 16 of them come, you know, and you can't, but if I had to find a place and coffee and snacks and program coordinators time on their list and an evening where there isn't anything going on, it would have taken me a lot longer to get this data. And so, you know, that's another, I think, as you were talking about what might limit people's participation when you do it face-to-face, that was another thing, that they were at home. They'd had dinner with their family. They'd maybe even watched a TV show, and at 7 o'clock, quick jumped on with me, and at 8 o'clock, we were done. And they were able to go back to what they were doing at home. I have to say, as a professional, as a staff person, I appreciated that as well.
You could work it into your life, right? Mm-hmm. Evaluation shouldn't make people struggle in order to take part in it. And that's funny, because I was just talking to a colleague who led in-person focus groups recently, and she was saying getting the supplies for it is so much work. Like thinking about, like you're saying, the coffee and the beverages, and is that going to be appropriate for the audience that I'm with? And where do I get the chairs at this place after? And what's the location? And is it snowing? And there's just so much to set up a physical space for a focus group. So that's great to hear that. You still have to set up the online space, but it's a different kind of setup.
And it was a one-time setup for me.
Right. And then you could reuse it in as you right. did multiple ones. So that right. was great. So I want to close with any lesson learned or takeaways that you think people considering this option should think about.
And so I think the lesson here is that how do you make that online learning environment as much of a place where people feel like a community as possible? And anytime, and then as you said, be really prepared with your questions and even that step ahead of, okay, if they say this, then I want to follow up with that to keep it moving. I think that my biggest lesson is that I'd like to do it again, and that it is definitely possible, and that the participants appreciated it as much as we did.
Yeah, Carrie's a total convert, and we love that. We love people that find the value in evaluation, because why are we doing it if we're not getting good information?
That's right.
Time, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so if you want to learn more about focus groups or ways to conduct focus groups, please hop on to z.umn.edu/evaluatingprograms. And there you can learn more about evaluation with youth, more about survey design, data viz. There's so much good stuff there. So check it out and you can listen and hear Carrie's great takeaways. So thanks for joining us today, Carrie.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Yeah, and happy evaluating, everyone.
Well, thank you for listening in on our podcast within a podcast. I hope you were able to take away ideas of how you can gather information from web-based online focus groups. I know both Sam and I would love to hear your ideas or even answer any questions that you might have. In the meantime, please visit our website at www.extension.umn.edu/youth, where you will learn more information about training, education, and tools for all youth workers and leaders. And also check out our Minnesota 4-H program to learn how you can get involved. I also invite you to read and comment on the youth development topics covered in our Youth Development Insight blog. That's going to wrap up this podcast within a podcast. I'd like to send a great big thank you to Sam Grant for letting me republish your podcast. This is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.